Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world, on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, it's the second show of 2015, and thank you very much for all of the nice emails that bounced into my inbox right across the holiday period. I was working across the holidays, and actually have only just finished working, and life being life, it occasionally throws you a bit of a curved ball from time to time. That's exactly what happened to me. I was lying in bed thinking how great life is now that I don't have to work for a couple of weeks and can have a bit of a break. And I'm lying back watching a movie with a cup of hot coffee, and what do? I somehow manage to tip the boiling hot coffee all over my arm and then end up having to make a number of trips to the hospital, who were very good and dressed it, and hopefully it's not going to scar, but boy, was it painful. So sometimes when you make plans in one direction, you have, of necessity, to go in another direction. I'm not going to do any shout-outs on this edition of The Unexplained, by the way. I'm going to try and do those in the next edition, but the next show ought to be, if all goes well, with a truly enormous guest. If you were to sit down and make a list of the 10 top guests for a show like this, this man's name would certainly be in the top three and maybe in the top one. He's that big. So have a think about who it might be. I'm not going to tell you. It's going to be a surprise when it appears. But if all goes to plan, we should be recording with him in about a week from now. More on that coming soon. Thank you very much to Adam Cornwell, my webmaster at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool. We're now going into our eighth year of working together. I think we started working together in Liverpool on show 24. And look where we are now. And who knows where we'll be in a year from now. It's all very, very exciting. Thank you for the guest suggestions, by the way. I'm working on those as well. Big name guest coming next, but let's get to Karen Dolman now in California, the guest on this edition. Karen's been on here a couple of times, and I'm very proud of Karen. Karen, of course, the Ouijologist who uses the Ouija board. This time we're going to talk about a lot more things, though. But Karen made her first appearances on a broadcast on my show, and now does television in America and Coast to Coast AM and various other things. So Karen's done really, really well. Let's catch up with her now. To Southern California we go, where it apparently never rains. That's what they tell me. It's more than could be said for London. Karen Dolman is there. Karen, thank you very much for coming back on The Unexplained.
Well, thank you for having me. It's such a pleasure to be here again.
Now, Karen, I do feel that I've kind of had a tiny little part, only a small part, in your success, because I was one of the first people to put you on. And look how things have gone for you in the last year. It's been a good one, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a fabulous year. And yeah, thank you to you and your show and your listeners. And from your shows, I have quite a few people that follow me now through Facebook and send me emails from that came off of your show, from listening to me. And so I really appreciate this venue and forum. But 2014 was a great year in many ways for me, definitely through my career with my books and my speaking engagements. In other ways, it was quite hard and trying, and some more personal levels. But I think that's what I'm hearing from everybody. Everybody's talking about 2014 being really a trying time for them. How about you?
Yeah, well, with me, where do I start? We need to keep this to 45 seconds or so, or probably less, actually. We don't bore the hell out of people. Personally, difficult. Yeah, mm-hmm. Personally, very difficult one way and another for a whole variety of reasons we don't need to go into. Work-wise, life has ticked over. You know, I've been working for the BBC a little in the UK, which has been a voyage of discovery and I've greatly enjoyed. And The Unexplained has been the big surprise of the year, really, Karen. Have I taken up my 45 seconds? Yeah, not quite. That's enormous. The amount of downloads that I'm getting for this show are enormous. I didn't believe it. I refused to believe it. And then my young web guy, Adam, said to me, please pay this company to do verified independent statistics, and then you will see it for yourself. You'll see what my server is telling me every week. So I did. I paid $50 and registered with this company and have been blown away by the numbers. So from that point of view, great year.
Yeah, I was really amazed at your numbers too. I shouldn't say amazed, like shocked, but just it was astounding to see what kind of following you have. And they love you, Howard. Everybody loves you and they want to see more and hear more of you.
Well, the truth of it is, Karen, and look, you know, you and I are going to talk together like friends on this show because that's how we talk. The truth of the matter is that a lot of commercial media lies to people, does not serve them. It's just a fact. They don't tell the truth. They don't work in the public's interest in many cases. So more and more people are going across to podcasts. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm doing a podcast. I am saying that advisedly. And I think there's a trend here. And the upside of it for the commercial media means that they will have to review the way that they do things and become more like the independent sector, which is good for dynamism and vibrancy of it all. Otherwise, they are doomed. And that's just a fact. And I'm saying that as somebody who's observed the situation for all of my life. This is the new way of communicating with people. And it's not just me who's saying that because I can be dismissed as misguided or a nut. You know, people say all kinds of things about me. This is compared, he's completely wrong. The numbers tell the story. So that's where we're going. And you've got to get on. If you want to be part of it, you've got to get on board.
I so agree with you on that. Podcast has become the new way. Internet radio shows have been a huge hit, as well as subscription shows on cable or internet TV shows as well. So I'm quite impressed with that, how it's really taken off, and it allows people, as you said, to be more ingenious with kind of entrepreneurialism, to think up new ways to fit into the market. But this is one way that it's definitely working for you.
Well, you know, people who get in touch with me, they know that no matter how busy I am, how stressed I am, I will make time to read their emails. And if I can't reply to them personally, I'll mention them on the show, but they know that I've looked at it. And that's my guarantee to them, and that's not just bull, it's the truth. Now, I can tell you, because I worked in mainstream media, some are very good at doing that kind of thing, and some are not very good at doing that kind of thing, and a lot of emails end up in the electronic equivalent of the bin these days, and people don't get listened to. And if we see one trend through 2015, my real thought about this is that we will see a democratization of all things. But let's watch out for that. Now, the Ouija board is what we've talked about most, you and I. You've been doing it. This is your 42nd year using the Ouija board. You're still here. You haven't been, as far as I can hear, demonically possessed yet. So it's worked for you.
Yeah, I haven't escaped or dropped down into that portal just yet. So, yeah, it's been 42 years. You got that right. This is my 42nd year, and my Ouija board turned 42 years old on Christmas, because that's when I received it 42 years ago. So, it's been a fascinating tool for me, and I had a great opportunity recently to work with spirit, my spirit friends, to give predictions for 2015, and I was able to share some of those, and one of them was this whole internet subscription thing and what we just talked about. So this is the segue from what we just talked about into Ouija. They confirm that is the way, one of the ways of the future.
I've got two interesting things to, I hope they're interesting things to ask you. Number one, you said your Ouija board is 42 years old. If you were to use another Ouija board, would it be the same for you?
It would be. And then somebody asked me that question recently. Is there a difference between homemade boards, maybe a board you've had forever, or, cardboard? Mine's a Masonite from circa 70s. It was a Masonite back then. No, it's really me. It's not the tool itself. It's not the planchette, not the board. It's the user who allows it to work. So I can use any of my boards. But I will say this, I've used some new board. I have a collection of boards, and I was using a newer one, and Spirit said, why don't you get your other board out? And I thought that was the funniest thing, because I was thinking I kind of like my other board anyway, but I wanted to try all these different boards, and they will humor me and we'll use them. But they like that board because I like that board, because I'm more comfortable with that board. So that's just kind of been my regular board that I use for that reason.
Okay.
My comfortability.
I want to ask you one quick thing before I get into the second part of my two-part question. This is a very circuitous way of doing this, but I've got to do this before I forget. I got a few critical emails last time you were on. People kind of accusing you of being a bit of a wall of sound, a bit of a wall of mumbo-jumbo, really. How would you come back to them? You know, they say this is all nonsense. Is the word.
Well, sure. And good. Have skepticism. It does sound like nonsense sometimes. I myself throughout the years have gone, really? How does this happen? But it does happen for me. And I've had people write to me and say, well, how do we know you're telling the truth? And I said, it's not about whether I'm telling the truth to you, although I know I am. You don't know that. But what it is, it's about how does this information resonate for you? If it resonates in mumbo jumbo, then it probably isn't for you. But if it resonates as some kind of truth or hits you in a space where you go, wow, that's interesting, then, you know, then the information may be more for you or to explore it further. It's really about anything in life. It's our own resonance with that and how we feel inside. And that is truly our barometer to go about life and to understand what works for us, what doesn't work for us. And you should trust that barometer. I know this work that I'm doing, and the messages I'm receiving just keep growing in their flair. I guess I can think of a better word than that. But they grow in their nature of the messages, become more profound. It seems like over time, and over the consistency of using the board and working with certain partners that I've worked with for quite some time as well. And I find that the messages really help me personally in my life, but help many people that come to my circles and help them as well. And so whether they believe in it or not, they always walk away with a kernel of some kind of truth, something that will help them move themselves further and forward in life.
You don't have to go down this avenue. I quite understand if you don't want to, but you told me a little earlier, Karen, and we've known each other for a few years now, that this hasn't been the easiest personal year for you. A lot of us have been through this stuff. Did Ouija help you through that?
Absolutely, yes. It did. And there was times when I wasn't doing the Ouija board as much either. And I don't do it, you know, I'm sporadic with it at times. Right now I'm doing it a little bit more often. I try to do it about once every 2 weeks or once a week because I'm writing this third book. But I wasn't able to do it a few times because I was sick. I went through a sickness for a while there. And just personal struggles myself with certain things. I won't go into all the details. It'll bore you as well. But I had struggles that I think old stuff that came up, and trying to deal with that on a therapeutic level, but also integrate it so I can move forward and not feel so stuck on some things. It was a brilliant year for career, but not so brilliant personally. But yet, what my spirit friends tell me, they say, Karen, why do you think you went backwards? They said, every movement that your higher self makes and you're connected to your higher self is always forward. Mm. Then they asked me again. They said, and this is just more recently in the last several months. They said, let me ask you again. If something happens and it's of your choice, because everything is of your choice, they tell me. If something happens and it's of your choice, did you move backwards? I said, God, it feels like it. They said, because that's comfortable for you to stay in a place of this woe is me, or God, this is too hard to do this day, or something like that. They say, move out of that comfort zone and see that every single thing you choose is always progression, movement forward. And that really has opened my eyes and my heart up to a lot of things that have helped me move into this new year in a whole different light.
Bearing in mind that there is a lesson, I believe, in pretty much everything, even if it's rotten, rubbish, horrible, there is always something to be learned, and that helps your progression. But I may be wrong about that. Now, part two of the question that I asked about 10 minutes ago, and I'm getting to now through this long and winding road, as Paul McCartney once sang, is this. You said that you've been able to, via Ouija, come up with a series of predictions, for want of a better word, for things that are going to happen in 2015. Can you share any of the more momentous ones with us here?
You know, I will, because it's very interesting. I just received a text from somebody this morning who is aware of my predictions. And it was interesting because in the United States, I guess today is the day we swore in the new, let me see here, I'll get the information for you. We swore in the new Congress the new Senate was just sworn in today. And their first order of business is going to be on Canada's pipeline. One of the predictions I received a month and a half ago was that we weren't going to have a lot of problems of oil. We would be fracking more, but also the Canadian, we're going to fight for having that Canadian pipeline to bring the oil down. And so here we are, first order of business, beginning of the year, things are starting to come through. Another prediction that they gave, and this one won't surprise anybody, is this: how atrocious and horrific these winters have been, that this is supposed to be one of the worst winters that North America will have. I didn't get anything for UK. Sorry, I should have asked.
Well, we're into a really weird phase since you asked. Across the holiday period, it was either icy cold for a couple of days, but mostly it's back to where it was last year. It's mild. Today it's been raining. It's been ridiculously mild, and these are not the winters that we had in the UK when I was a kid, when it was a bit icy and a bit snowy. It's not like that at all. It's more springtime now.
Yeah, it's the weather's patterns have really shifted. Well, they talked to me about that too. And I'll share one more that you might find interesting. The spirit friends say too that really soon they think in this year that there'll be a exploration into the they call it a hoax of global warming.
Okay, what do you believe about global warming, Karen? Do you think it's a hoax? Because there are lots of people who say that now.
Well, I believe that it's a natural cycle that the Earth goes through after so many thousands of years. And we it's hard for us to look back maybe 26,000 or even 5,000 years ago to understand. But I think we're just in another cycle, and that when things do look like it's a housewarming effect or of that nature, it probably really isn't. It's probably part of a pattern. Mm. And I think we're seeing that in our weather patterns too, how they're changing so drastically. And it's not that they're changing so drastically. We just see it that way. I think we've had this experience before. So I don't buy into the whole global warming theory myself.
Anything about politics? Because it seems to me that a bit of a trend is beginning to emerge. And some of it's for the good and some of it is a little questionable. But if you listen to a lot of radio in America, which I do, I listen to shows like The Savage Nation, and I even listen regularly to Alex Jones, even though I don't buy a certain amount of the stuff that he puts out there. But, you know, you listen to it partly for entertainment and partly for remarkability of the stuff that he says. One thing that is clear from all of these shows that you hear is an increasing discontent with politics. And an increasing desire for ordinary people to take control of it and not trust their leaders. Do you see that as a trend?
I do. Now, I didn't talk to the spirits about that specifically, and they didn't bring that up for me either, probably because my focus is more on transformation of the soul.
But you know, we've had people like, you've heard of Russell Brand, haven't you?
Say that again?
You've heard of Russell Brand, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I keep getting emails about Russell Brand. He's a big figure here. His book, of course, is called Revolution, and he's talking about not trusting the political elites and taking power back, the citizenry taking power back. And he puts it in a very folksy British kind of way. And he's made it. I heard him on National Public Radio in the States the other day. He's getting that message out there. And it seems more and more people, I don't take a view on whether this stuff is right or wrong or whatever, but more and more people seem to be going that way.
Well, and you can see it too with the social media trends in terms of forming, bans against like GMOs or forming walkouts or sit downs. I mean, they're using social media to help with this. So there is more of a sense of the community coming together more to take matters in their hand. And they could do it a lot more quickly than they ever could in the past for those reasons.
You and I talked, and we did talk on the show about doing a live Ouija session together, you and your Ouija friends there and the spirits who communicate through the board. Getting together and doing it in a sort of, three or four way hookup. And for various reasons, I haven't done that. And I know people will be asking me why I never did it, because I know that George Noory in the States, as far as I'm aware, still hasn't done it. And I don't think wants to do it. Art Bell always used to say, don't go there. And I have to say, I've put the brakes on it a bit, because I'll tell you why. A lot of people will feel this way. I'm afraid that if we got into doing that, and we may well still do this at some point, I'm afraid of whatever it is that you're harnessing, accessing my vulnerabilities. You're a business person. You know, you've been in business and commerce. I'm trying to find a nice word for toughness. There is a steel in the best possible way about you. You're strong. I would worry, as many other people would worry, that you got it all under control, but if I was to go into a Ouija session with you, I'm not skilled, I'm not practiced, I'm not protected, I might have a problem, and that's why I've held back on doing it, and I'm being honest about this now.
Yeah, and we've discussed this, like you said, several times, and I always stay open to, you know, the possibilities of doing it on a show such as yours. This is the thing. This is where I feel that... it's not, we just never dangerous. It's never going to pull you into a dark corner. I know people are going to say, oh my God, that's not true. Well, let me tell you what I do know about Ouija. I know that it can't explore or go into or know anything that you don't want to have come out. That's the number one principle. It doesn't matter if you're talking to a dead spirit in the dead zone, the astral zone, or you're speaking to ethereal beings that I usually talk to. It doesn't matter. They can't go into somebody's mind or information and put it out there for all to hear. So I know that could be a fear some people have. I think the fear that the biggest fear that most people have is that they're going to all of a sudden become possessed, or something negative is going to come through the board. Okay. We got to understand this now. We don't want to give our power away. The board does nothing. The board is merely, mine is merely Masonite. A lot of them are cardboard nowadays. That has no power whatsoever. It's you. So if the spirit comes in, it's because of you.
And are you saying, Karen, that the spirit could come in even if, you know, even if you weren't with Karen Dolman and your friends, if you were at home and if you were susceptible and receptive, I suppose is more of the word, then the spirits would still come in?
Let me define spirit here. I just use the word spirit because everybody wants to say that. I'm talking, let's use the word energy. I truly believe that there is no such thing as an evil energy or an evil source. I believe there are bad behaviors. There are evil behaviors. People do atrocious things. It's people again. And I believe that when we think there's a possession or there is a possession, and you hear many accounts of this, that it's truly created from the formation of your own shadow self, your own deeper, darker energies that are within you. And they're constellated now outwardly. And they're projected out into an energy source that somehow can make form of it. And so there's so much we don't know about consciousness. But as I step into this further and further and ask the questions and explore it further, this is what I'm beginning to find out. It's not so much a source of energy that sits around like a demon and devils are going to attack you. It's truly a source of energy that we can use in any way we want to. Put your fears on it, you're going to get fear back. Put your positiveness on it, you're going to get that back. That's how the energy works. And that's how alchemy works. And that's one of the things we're going to talk a little bit more about today, because this is what I'm writing about right now. This whole idea of this transformation that occurs with the energy of nature. And this energy of nature is, we can call it, I don't want to call it spirit again, but we could call it spirit. We can call it energy. We can call it vibration, frequency. It's what, how do you work with that vibration and frequency and energy? That's what you're going to get back. So that's why I said, you know, to you before about doing the board, you've got to be in a place where you're comfortable with that in terms of yourself and comfortable. You don't have to totally believe or totally think, oh my God, am I okay? It's just feeling that you're strong enough with yourself to do this work with me and not project any of your other's fears on it. Because fear itself is what I'd be afraid of. My own fear, as opposed to a fear of something external of me coming in. It's my own fear that we should really look at and be afraid of.
So nothing to be afraid of apart from fear itself. And I think somebody famous said that, and somebody will email me and remind me who it was. Alchemy. Okay. I know you're very keen to talk about this. This is the new book. This is the new direction that you're going in. So this is connecting with nature.
Well, yeah, alchemy, let me phrase this a little differently. There's many different levels to alchemy, and there's many different forms of alchemy. And some of the people that study alchemy would tell you that has nothing to do with psycho-spiritual transformation. They're more the diehard alchemists who believe in just taking nature and creating it, transforming it, dissolving it, coagulating it, fermenting it, and all these different stages to create this one essence called the Philosopher's Stone or the Elixir of Life, the opus. It's that one thing you can take that's like the fountain of youth and it wakes you up. So I'm not talking about that alchemy in those literal stages of turning lead into gold. But what I'm talking about with nature and alchemy is taking our natural state as a human being and going into those places within ourselves where I would call it the recesses of our wounds, going into those places that are dark, the shadow part of ourselves. We were just talking about our fears and learning to bring light to it. And as we begin to do that, we can turn those experiences into opportunities that are golden. So there's your lead of life becoming opportunities, golden opportunities for your life. And the board has taught me, the Ouija board, my spirit friends, have taught me so much about this process. Although I do read and study, and I studied it back in graduate school when I was a practicing therapist. And over the years, I'm seeing it in a whole nother light now, since I do work with spirit directly. And what I'm finding is, in this, well, the book I'm writing is I'm going to help people when they read it, I'm going to really help them kind of like as if they're initiates themselves to navigate into mystical and spiritual and synchronistic events and stuff in our life that is magical, and to show them and teach them how they can actually make those things happen more and more in their life. So they understand their connection back to, the divine self, back to their higher self, back to their self that is connected to the source. And that's my process with alchemy. And that's what I'm writing about right now.
Okay. Well, your narrative is great. You're never stuck for words. There will be people who will email me who say, what did she mean? Does this mean that I can improve myself? And what do I have to do if I want to?
Yes, this basically means that we can improve ourselves in ways we never knew. This means that we can help have in our lives more mystical experiences, better dream recall, using our dreams to help us improve our lives, learning to even maybe have visitations or speak to spirit or connect with you back to your higher self. To connect, that means the self, the part of you that really knows.
Let's talk about dreams. I was talking oddly enough, just a couple of days ago at work, I was talking to a colleague who was telling me that she's going through a period of dreams. And I said, well, that's interesting. Do you have dreams? And I have dreams that are, and I didn't realize that not everybody has these, but I have dreams very often that are full color, three-dimensional. I will walk around them. I'll be thinking about my responses in conversations that I'm having, and I will talk to people that I've never seen before. Now, apparently, not everybody has those.
Yeah, it's fascinating. People tell me that as well. I do. All my dreams are in full color and they're three-dimensional, and I'm walking around, and a lot of times I have lucid dreams where I'm aware that I'm dreaming in a dream, and I might wake up in the dream, but I'm still sleeping, but I'm aware that I'm still dreaming. It's weird stuff like that. And people have so many different levels to dreams. And I'm going to be discussing a lot of that in the book, because I think dreams is truly the fastest way back to yourself in terms of having an incredible life. Dreams give us the tools, the symbols of, it's the language of the soul. And if you want to know what your passion is, what your higher self is, who you truly are inside, a lot of people say they can't find that within themselves. I say, look at your dreams. And the more you start looking at your dreams, the more they come alive. And then what's really cool is that the more you work with your dreams, the more external things happen that relate to your dreams. Like you might see a bird and go, oh, I saw that in my dream. I saw a raven, and here's a raven, and the raven just dropped a feather, and I'm going to go pick it up. And it almost becomes alive. Everything's connected. And dreams is a wonderful way to connect back to your soul, to that part of you that transcends this human experience.
Well, that sounds good. But a lot of the time I wake up a little disturbed by my dreams, because I've just been having a conversation with somebody that I know I didn't see on the television or a movie last night that I genuinely have never seen before. And I've had a conversation that I've been able to think of rational responses within the conversation. So a lot of the time I'm trying to work that out. And you're saying that it's important that you find the key to that. I'm still looking for that key.
Yeah. You know, dreams are going to be all over the place, and they don't follow any kind of linear progression. As you know, you jump from here, from there, from this age, from that age, to this person, to that person, and they can be scary and they can be fun and they can be exciting. That's the whole part of dreams. It's just what, you know, a lot of times in dreams, we just have to work out our issues of the day. But yet still, there's still something magical to learn about them. When you start writing them down, you'll start to see some kind of theme develop. And I'll call it the golden thread that weaves everything together. And you'll see this in your dreams. But just because you have a dream that might be a nightmare, scares you, or you wake up, doesn't mean that that's bad. It's just a way for yourself to work through some of this pressures we have in our life, you know, the pain that we go through in our life too. And so I would welcome all dreams, regardless if you have, you know, nightmares. I remember I had a series of dreams when I was younger, and they were very scary. And in fact, it left me quite afraid of the dark for many, many years. And, you know, I've been able to work through some of that symbolism, but those went on for years. And a lot of times those dreams will continue and continue until we notice something, look at something, integrate something, understand something. And that's when those things change. But dreams are just a fabulous way to really know what's going on within yourself.
Okay, I hear what you say. And how are you going to tie this into the book then, Karen? Because a lot of what you just said about dreams, people have said in different ways before, haven't they? What's different?
Well, I look at dreams as it's a universal language of the soul. So I'm looking at a dream as one way to promote more mystical experiences. In fact, my spirit friends who I work with on the board also come and present themselves to me in dreams. So I find that if you look at dreams on deeper levels and when you do that, you begin to see that there's multitude meaning to the dream, and somehow help people learn to do that. Yeah. This dream work is nothing new, but in the set inside of this book and set into all the other synchronistic, mystical and spiritual experiences I'm discussing, it'll be seen in a new light. It'll be used in a new light.
Okay. And where else do you go with the book?
Well, I think, I think it's really important to look at things as not being polar opposites or to see contrast in our life. And I'll give you an example of what I mean by this as I talk about it. To not look at things as black, white, yes, no, good, bad, especially good, bad. Because what that does is it sets us up for dichotomies. It sets us up to either one, become too idealized and zealous onto one side and thinking you're righteous because you have the only way, or negative, it makes you think that you can't ever get out of your circumstance and stay in that space too. What I'm learning and what I'm writing, and when I'm learning a lot while I write this book, that's how books are. They make you live everything you're writing about. It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary at times because it really pushes you to experience this stuff, especially nonfiction books. When you work with these concepts of let's do good, bad, that's a favorite one. Everybody goes, that's bad or that's good. Well, I'm not saying don't use it to discern. You should discern things in your life. For example, Howard said, I'm not quite there to do the Ouija board experiment, so right now it's not good for me. That's fine. But to look at, like, for example, or overgeneralize like a race of people or a certain position in life and say that's good, that's bad, it really sets us up to not experience the fullness of life. If you take a coin, we have heads and tails. Both can't exist separately. They exist together. So this work is going to take you into looking at things from a perspective of how can you blend the two together, not so we become vanilla, but so you have a place of contrast. You know your light, you know what's good by having a contrast to compare it to. And I'm going to work with the word bad and dark and yin, which is feminine. They that's the black, that's the dark. They say that's all like chaos. I'm working with those words and those concepts and being able to see them in the light a little different way. And so we move through life by making judgments of how we're going to do things and how we're going to behave. And we must have morals and values and ethics, and that helps us, but not at the expense of getting rid of this whole other part of ourselves. This is what we've done with ourselves in our lives. We have not awoken to this part, this deep spiritual part within ourselves that the dreams show us. And that's a lot of times why we have nightmares. We're not looking at this part of ourselves. I'll go back and use the word I used originally, which was the shadow self, our fears. What we don't see within ourselves, we project out there as bad. So we see people taking the blame for things. We see the Ouija board as bad. We see this person over there as bad. And the truth is we really have that fear within ourselves. Again, this book is really about dispelling the myths, some myths of fears that we have that will really stagnate us in our lives and block us from the whole experience of who we are. When we block ourselves from the whole experience of who we are, we can't step in and co-create our lives in the direction we want them to go.
So this can all be boiled down, can't it, to preconceptions. People have preconceptions about stuff. Look, you know, my life is full of them. I'm averse to trying and doing some things because I fear the consequences. I fear that I may fail. That's the biggest thing of all. I fear that I may fail in something that I may try, so I don't do them. That's what you're talking about, isn't it? Fears that may not have a rational basis and ways to expunge those fears.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a nice way of saying it, for sure. And then some, and explaining why, so we can really wrap ourselves around this, how they do hold us back. You know, my goal always in all the work I do, the talks I give, the books I write, and my therapy work, and even just my regular business life, it's really about helping myself and helping those that work with me or work for me to really express the best of who they are, period. And so to do that, we have to get out of our way. And to get out of our way, sometimes we have to be able to open up and look at things we never wanted to look at before.
Okay. Give me an example.
Well, you just said, you talk about the preconceptions you may have about doing something or the fear of failure. That's a big one. See, people write to me all the time and after I do these shows, and they have a lot of psycho-spiritual questions. They border between psychology and spirituality. And so I like you, I read all my email and I answer all the emails as well. And what I find is people are hurting. And when I say hurting, it's kind of generalized, but people, they want to know their passion. They want to know how to make the next step in their life. It might be as easy as somebody calls into a psychic and says, how's my career, my money, my relationships? It's all those basic things, same things I get. So if I can find a way that you can go to yourself and get the answers, which will be nothing but the right answers. They won't be my answers. They won't be your answers, but it'll be your own answers. And to navigate through the fears that hold us back, and the fears show themselves in many, many different ways.
Okay. So people get in touch with you and they say, Karen, my life is dysfunctional. How do I make it work?
Well, we have to go a lot further than that. I think the big thing on that, I would say, okay, so your life is feeling dysfunctional. Where does it feel dysfunctional? And they may say a certain area in their life, like they may say their career. I just, this economy's really been bad and I have lost my work. And I said, okay, so what would you like to do? The idea is to look at what happened as we started this whole conversation and find the opportunity in that. Find the lesson in it. A lot of times things fall apart so we can rebuild even in greater ways. And I've seen this in my life. I experienced a dark night of my soul. And this was 1997. So almost 18 years ago. And that's the time I wrote my first book. And then I worked through all this stuff. I didn't necessarily try to, it just started working itself out. And when I did, I emerged to a place that was so much grander, greater, better than I ever could have been before. But I was so afraid to let go of what happened before. My life fell apart. My marriage, where I was living, I had my money, my resources, everything was gone. And then to rebuild that to the level where I took it, and it wasn't just through determination. It was really through looking at some of these aspects in my life that I was afraid to look at. And as I did, when you start to shed light onto the consciousness of matter, and this is alchemy now, things alchemically change. They have to. Change is a constant. I talk about that a lot in my first book. And because change is always going to happen, know that you created these changes, or these changes are created for you to support you to the next level. It's always the next level. It's always about evolution. So somebody who came to me and said, my life is a mess, we would have to evolve to that level through conversation and through it could be hypnosis and dream work. And there's many other ways to get there, but it's not me taking the person there. It's that person taking that personal journey themselves. The alchemists worked in very private, mysterious ways. And as they worked and transformed their chemicals, and they would add substances to them, they put them in their beakers and flasks and alembic chambers and boil them and burn them and put them into vapor. And all these transformations that took place, they also realized at the same time they were projecting their own psychological transformations onto these processes they were changing and seeing that they were transforming as they worked privately too.
So it's mind, literally mind over matter.
Yeah, it can be mind over matter. That's part of it for sure. And I think mind over matter is so hard for many people to believe, because it does sound hard. How do you put your mind over matter? But truthfully, in alchemy, there's the one mind and the one thing. And the one mind is of, we'll call it the God source, the Godhead. And the one thing is of the matter, of the body. So it is mind over matter.
This is almost like, and I know this stuff happens, it's almost like the mechanic of making little personal miracles happen for yourself. And to some people who are listening to this now, they're going to say, what have you got that Karen Dolman on, you know, again? She just goes on and on and on about this stuff and it doesn't mean anything. Maybe this is going to mean something to you, because it means something to me. I have got to stages in my life, and I can probably reasonably say I'm probably at one of those right now, where you get to the point where you say, okay, I haven't done anything about the stuff that is wrong, and I'm tired of it all now, and I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to change it. It's almost like an overwhelming feeling that grips and grabs you. And it's done this a number of times in my life, and I know other people for whom it has worked this way. When it gets to the point where you absolutely, positively have to do something about it, you will change your mindset. And if you change your mindset, things will happen that click into the cogs of this machine and make it all turn for you. That, I believe, happens. And I think, in a way, that's what you're talking about with this alchemy, aren't you?
And that's exactly what I'm talking about. And you said it in a very practical way. That is practical alchemy. And it's important to bring it down to earth, as you just did, and put it back into matter and say, this is an example of that. It's very true. We lose our jobs for a reason. We lose our relationships for a reason. We gain new relationships and new jobs for a reason. And at the base of it all is always for our own good, our evolution of ourselves, to be the best that we can be, to express our passion in life. We all come here with that. It's hard to find it, because all of a sudden we find ourselves in a life where we have to feed three mouths or four mouths and make the bills and you pay them and the money. And before you know it's almost over. And this is a way to take back your life, take control back, and know that you have the power to make those changes. And it could be mind over matter. It could be positive thinking. We'll call it all those things. I'm gonna tell you more about it in alchemical terms, so you understand that this is something that alchemy has been around for ages. This is before Christ was born. They predate it to about 300 BC, but yet they were practicing these they call them dictums, axioms, ways of thinking way before that in ancient civilizations. So I'm going to bring that back in and say how this is work these people have done all these years. And now this is something we could do in modern day times, alchemy as well, that helps us transform back into who we really are. Everybody wants to always be the best they can be. That's why they want to have love and the relationships and money. And they think they're going to have fun and success. That's people want positive things. I don't know anybody that just wants to have a bunch of things not working in their life, you know? So this helps you to spur that on, so you can actually be the creator of this, of making this happen.
And what's the difference? I've talked to a lot of people who I might categorize on this show as New Age philosophers. I've talked to a few of those, and I've talked to one or two modern day prophets. What's the difference between the stuff that you're talking about here and those things?
Well,
or those people?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a crossover. There's definitely a crossover, but my my thing has always been, as you know, the Ouija board. And the Ouija board has, as I said, has done some profound information and work with me over the years and people I know as well. And this work is coming out of some of that, those messages I received. So mine might be a little different than that in terms of my tools that I use. Also, because of my practices as a therapist, I think it's really important to how can we ground this into her life and not just keep it so airy-fairy. Although a lot of things I'm talking about are in very esoteric terms, it's hard not to do that. But yet, when we need to put this into practice, we need to know how does this work in my life. And so that's going to be the difference. It's going to be brought down to a ground level where we can actually understand how to incorporate this.
And I suppose you have to grasp the fact that the crap that happens, and I don't use that word that often, but the crap that happens in your life usually happens for a reason. And if you can accept, now I'm sounding like a New Age philosopher, and I really don't mean to be that. But, you know, it happens for a reason. The end of most things is good. It may take an awful long time, and you may suffer a bit along the way, but it usually is for something better. If you can accept that, and that's where I'm starting to get to, and I'm quite old to be getting there. If I can accept that it's going to be all right in the end, then the whole process is much more potent for me.
Yes, that's it, exactly. And the process, sometimes we don't even know we're in the process, but then things start falling apart. And the more we fight it, it gets worse. And then if we can somehow go with it, that's hard to do. But we have some kind of map so we can navigate through it better. That's what I'm trying to offer here, is a map to navigate these trying times in our life. And I think right now there's so much going on, as we just talked about, politically, economically, with the weather patterns, people's jobs, over, especially in the United States. I know you have your own stuff going on over there. Very similar though. We're being asked to think of new ways of doing things. So new age is nothing new. It's really old age. And so this alchemy stuff is really old stuff. It's just now, why don't we just use some of these things and not reinvent the wheel, but find a way to incorporate this in our life so we can feel more empowered. I think the goal is empowerment.
Now, a lot of the people who emailed me about you, you had a lot of support, let me tell you, last time. It wasn't a torrent of negativity. There were some negative emails, and they said, Karen Dolman talks a lot and never really gets to the point. So here is the time for you to distill. I don't want you to give you, you know, you to give away all the stuff that's in your book. That's not fair. But distill what this means, how you can practically grab hold of your life that may be very dysfunctional, and how you can use this alchemistic technique, if that's the word for it, phrase for it, to make things better. Give me some practicalities here, because that's what those particular listeners will email me right now and ask for.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, alchemists, you're going to be an alchemist when you read this book. You're going to be the one that's going to work on your life. You're going to incorporate into your life the spiritual, the psychological, and the physical all into your life. And you're going to do that through working with your dreams, working with self-hypnosis, working with synchronistic events.
Synchronistic events.
Yes. Creating them in your life, how you can have things happen that where everything seems to line up. And by doing some of these techniques in the book, you're going to learn how to be more in control of what happens in your life, the outcomes, whether it's getting that job you want, mm-hmm. whether it's having that relationship you wish to have, whether it's to succeed in your career and make more money, whether it's to be a better parent or a better person. These are practical. These are tools that will become very practical that you can employ and use every day to create that life you want.
There's a band called the Brand New Heavies. They had a lot of hits around the back end of the 1990s, beginning of the 2000s. I think they had hits in the States too. And there's a song that they have that I love. It means a lot to me. It's called You Are the Universe. And one of the lines in the song is, if you conceive it, you can achieve it. And that I do believe. You know, like most people, I've been through my fair share of garbage and my fair share of shabby treatment by, you know, some organizations, and great treatment by other organizations. You know, my career has been my life, and I've had the kicks and the knocks. Mm-hmm. But everything happens for a reason. That's a fact. And I do believe that if you see your way out of a situation, if you visualize it, you want it, and if you've had enough of the situation that you're in, stuff will change for you. And that sounds to me like the essence of this book.
That's it in a nutshell. Things change. Things always change. And now why don't you be in charge of those changes as well? Instead of letting them happen to you, see them in a different way so you can experience those changes with open arms. So you can, again, have a better life in all levels, relationship, career, money, spirituality, whatever it is you're looking for. And everybody's in search of something else. Everybody's in search of different things. But I think the overall condition is that everybody wants to move away from pain or fear, and they want to move more into what should I do with my life? Am I doing the right things? You know, how can I improve my relationship? Can I get that job of my dreams? And yeah, by believing it, you can achieve it. And then this book is going to teach you how to know it, not just believe it, how to actually go grasp it and get it. So grab that brass ring, basically.
You talked about relationships. Most psychics I interview, and I've known quite a lot of them over the years, have said it's obviously what a lot of people come to them for. They want guidance. Mm-hmm. They want to know if this person is right for them, or why this particular relationship went belly up and wasn't any good for them, or how they can have better relationships. What have you got to say to them, those people who want to get better relationships?
Yeah, you know, I think the best relationship starts with yourself first. And you know, and I got to say that some of the work that I've done on myself too had to do with the balancing out of this message. So what I mean by that is, if we don't treat ourselves well, meaning respectfully, taking care of ourselves, we're probably not going to end up with a person that's going to do that for us either. We're going to allow them to walk on us. We're going to allow them to tell us what to do. We're going to allow them to take over this part that we're not taking care of. So to have a really good relationship, we must have that first within, with ourselves. Be good to ourselves. Be gentle with ourselves. Be true to ourselves. Know that you can count on yourself. If you say you're going to do something, are you going to do it? Can you count on yourself to get beyond your fears and go for that new promotion at work? It's doing those things for yourself, which you actually, here we go back. This might be mumbo jumbo, but it's the energy again. We affect the energy. You can choose to use that primal materia, the primal matter, or the energy of the etheric energy of what's out there, and form it and shape it for yourself. So if I'm going about life and people write to me that are having some problems like this, where they're abused and neglected by their so-called loved ones or the relationship, and what I find is their energy shows that. Their energy, meaning the way they move about their life, they're coming from a place of that. They're showing that to people, and they're picking people that are going to continue to promote that within them. So they're going to pick people that don't match up with what they think they want. Now, once you think you know what you want in somebody, become that yourself within.
Mm-hmm. But the answer to all abuse, if it's an abusive partner, or you know somebody that you work with or for who's abusing you, is just simply not to accept it.
Not to accept it, yeah. Walk away, but that's harder said than done. Because I know, and this is my specialty, was dealing with a lot of abusive situations, especially with women, and how to do that. It's very hard because you have a mindset that you don't deserve. So knowing that you're deserving and becoming that source that you know internally you deserve is the first step. And then from there, you can start changing yourself, that relationship with yourself again. If you're not keeping your sleep right, not eating right, abusing substances, et cetera, that's going to be real hard to go find somebody that's going to love you the way you want to be loved, that you think is the way to be loved, because you're probably going to find somebody that probably does those same things and is not too loving towards you either, because you're not being that loving towards each other. Mm-hmm. So just match yourself to this energy that you want to put out there so you can get that person back and magnetize or draw it back to you.
What about people who are in difficult workplace situations? You know, these are hard times for getting and keeping jobs. So you got to keep your nose clean these days, mm-hmm. because getting a job and keeping a job is very, very difficult. If you're in a situation where maybe somebody, perhaps they're inadequate themselves, is bullying, and that happens in a workplace situation, how do you transcend that without having to leave?
Well, that's tricky, because you're right. You need the money to keep paying your bills and to live and to exist. And so it's not about jumping jobs so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you alchemize your way out of that?
Yeah, that's great. Well, you alchemize your way out of it by taking back the control first. And so, you have to go through the channels that your work's going to require you to go through, whether that's reporting to your boss or writing down what's happening. There's different ways people have to manage that within a system, within a company or a business. But it's also shifting yourself. I do believe that we get some kinds of behaviors from others. They're going to treat us the way we allow them to treat us. And so sometimes it's a matter of standing up for themselves and maybe saying something out loud in front of a superior or supervisor. And it may be as easy as visualizing. I'm going to be talking about how to use the power of visualization as well, to visualizing the circumstances, the outcome differently. And I suggest everybody to try this. If there's a situation in your life that you feel like is not quite going the way you want, and pick something like work is a good one, your relationship with maybe your partner or lack of relationship, and spend time every day for about 10 minutes at the most, and just close your eyes and think what it would be like to be in a situation where it's different. And once those thoughts come in, like, oh no, this person's not very nice, they're abusive, but then put that out and say, this is what it'd be like, how the relationship would look, how I'd function, what I'd say, what I'd think, what they would do, how they would treat me. And then feel it. Feel as if you already have it. Feeling is the key here. Feeling is what's going to allow it to back your thinking, so you actually start emitting that out there when you're around people or you're around that person. And when you do this like 10 minutes every day, and if you can do it for a month, you're going to start changing some things. So I suggest everybody, if you want to make a big change like that, try that one, that just that one simple technique.
Okay, now I'm the guy who hosts this show. I'm supposed to be standing in the middle of it all, but I know this stuff works because I've done it. The problem that holds me and most people who try this stuff back is the fact that we allow doubt in. If you can, remove the doubt, if you can show it the back door or the front door, whichever door you want, or the trap door, then you're winning. But that's the hard part. You know, I know that I can achieve amazing things if I put my mind to it. If I doubt that I can do it, it's not going to happen for me. Never does.
That's right. It doesn't. And doubt is, doubt goes along with the lines of fear. They're in the same category. And they can rip apart all of our efforts. But what I find, if you can do something for 28 to 30 days, that's what it takes to create a habit.
Really?
And this is based in hypnosis now. And if you can do those many days in a row, you're going to find that the doubt, the fear, the inabilities will start to disappear.
So if you do a positive thing that serves you, I took on board a whole new phrase at the end of 2014. And I made this decision for myself. I'm only going to do things that serve me in the future. And if it doesn't serve me, it's going to go. So you have to do something that serves you for 28 days.
That's right. And repeat it the same way each time to make it, you want your subconscious mind to feel it ingrained, and to get it ingrained, it's got to keep being repeated the same way. And I recommend the same time of day too. So maybe right before you go to bed, or even right when you wake up. When you wake up can be hard because people are trying to get the kids off to school, get to work, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe it's better to do it when you go to bed. But this is how I do it when I want to make some major changes. I will work on that same thing. I'll visualize it first. Now, visualization, everybody gets all confused with that. They think, oh, I got to see something in my mind. And you may or may not, but it's like a dream. So it may not be so tangible, but you can, you know what things should be like if, for example, you had that wonderful job you wanted to have. So envision yourself at that wonderful job. Fill in all the details. You know, where's that building? Who are you working with? What are your coworkers like? What kind of things in this job would you do? Even visualize your window, your space, your room, your office, how you're sitting, driving to work. And you don't have to have exact location, but just keep it consistent day after day, and then put the feelings in it though. This is the piece that many people forget. You really have to feel what it's like now to be at your new desk in your new job, or maybe it's not a desk job. Maybe it's a job where you drive. Maybe it's a radio job. I don't know. Or podcast job.
But who knows?
Who knows? But feel that, and feel, when I say feel it, feel what it feel like to have it already.
But something else has to happen, doesn't it? While you're doing all of that stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, I've been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, sent the postcard, all the rest of it. Know all about that. Something has to go right in the interim. So it's a process where you've got to put a bit of effort in, but you do expect just one small thing to go right. Certainly in my case, if I put my mind to something and then something small goes right, it's going to fuel me to the next stage and then the next stage, and then it's going to work. But if you don't get those little incentives from the cosmos, it's harder.
That's right. And so when you do this 28 to 30 days, you will start to see those incentives. This is how you start creating synchronistic events to happen in your life. Because as you do more and more of this type of work with this visualization, this thinking, this feeling, there's many other techniques. We're just talking about one right here that you could practically do right now on your own without even reading the book. And you start to create things that show up that say, kind of give you like a seed or a crumb and say, here you go, you've been rewarded. Like maybe you get a call from somebody who says, we've got this new job opening up, you want to apply for it. You're like, oh my God, that's exactly the dream job. You know, it's that kind of thing. Or you see in the want ads, or it's just, it continues, it spirals. And as you get fed that back, you go, something here's happening. And it's you gotta have to control everything. And it's really not about that. It's participating in your life in a more full way. So you have a say. We and that you deserve. So there's you gotta get out of the way of yourself again. You gotta get back into that you do deserve. That you could try this, whether you doubt it or not, you don't have that full belief just yet. And that you're not afraid to try it every day consistently for that amount of time, and just see what starts to shift. See what starts to shift in your life. You'll be surprised.
Some of my listeners will email and say, is Karen Dolman going to write another book where she gives practical examples of people who've used these techniques and it's worked for them?
Oh yeah. Some of that's going to be in this book too. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's important.
And listen, I know I've given you a hard time. I'm just experiencing this whole thing vicariously, because I know that last time you were on, you polarized the audience to an extent. There were people who didn't like you and people who were asking me how to get in touch with you because they thought you were so good. That's what happens. But then anybody successful, it's Uri Geller, one of many people who told me, anybody who's successful is going to have controversy around them. They're going to be liked by some, loathed by others. That goes with success.
Well, and it does. And that's, again, that's both sides of the same coin. You're going to have both sides to everything. And again, it's in contrast, so we understand what side we want. You do develop thick skin, right? You develop thick skin. And it's always towards, for me personally, it's for my evolution. I'm okay with that. But, you know, I know what I talk about is very controversial, and I don't necessarily do it to get that shock. I do it because it's my truth and it's my path. And it's worked for me and many, many others in my life that who've been around some of this work that I do and that I've done in the past as well. So I'm okay with that. I definitely welcome it.
Do you want to be a self-improvement guru?
You know, I think, well, when I was a therapist, I think that's probably what I was. So no, not necessarily. But I do want to share some things that have been helpful for me and again, others. And if I can write some kind of map or navigational tool or provide, I will.
Right. And do you hope to get rich out of this?
No, you don't get rich out of this kind of stuff necessarily, but, you know what I say? No, this is something that I feel is my passion. I'm compelled to do, to share, spiritual truths, we'll call them, information that helps people to find their greatness within. It's just something that I feel driven to do, but I also have another job too, as you know.
I can now see an email coming from somebody who will say, I once got an email from somebody saying, if you claim to be such a quester after truth, if you claim to have a spiritual side and you interview people who are spiritual in nature, why do you go and ask questions like that?
Because we're human.
Because we're human. And because if you don't ask the difficult questions, you don't learn anything. That's why.
That's exactly right. Again, it's contrast.
I'm never rude, but I'm sometimes direct.
That's right. And we learn from contrast, and we learn from direct questions.
And look, the one thing that you've got, and I do sincerely believe this, is that you have an air of positivity about you that is quite refreshing. You know, you're the kind of person, and you tell me that you've transformed your own life and you've overcome the vicissitudes of fortune that you've faced. But it does seem to me that you will achieve the things that you want to achieve. And your story over this last year or two, where you've got yourself on television programs and on big radio shows, you decided to do that. Now I'm analyzing you, but you decided to you decided to make that happen. And that's what's fascinated me about you. You've used that positivity. And, you know, there's a lot of bull in the UK and the US and a lot of people who, you know, talk a good story. You know, they talk a good game, as we say here. But you do think positively, and you've made things happen in your own life. So if you can spread that positivity to other people, then you're doing something good, I think. But what do I know? Not much.
Well, it sounds like a pretty good analysis. But I will say this, it's a process. It's definitely a process, a transforming process. It's never done. This journey is never done. And so even though I was able to get through some of my tough times, I still have them, as every human does. And I'm just like everybody else, struggling along in my way. But yet, struggle might not be the right word. But I do. I have my struggles, but I move forward with them. And I'm not afraid to go into the darkness. I'm not afraid to go into the yin, which is that energy that's chaos and forming, and it's more of a maternal nature, and it's receiving, it's inwards. I'm not afraid to go there. I'm not afraid to go look at the shadow. I'm not afraid to work with the Ouija board and talk to dead spirits. I'm dead people. I'm not, that doesn't scare me. And I think because of that, I don't have a fear. I don't have a fear on that level, that I'm not afraid to go into those places that I find that my highs or my peaks are very high, because I'm willing to go real deep. And so again, this book kind of shares some of that stuff. It's going to share my process with it as well. And it's just a process anyway. That's all it is. It continues on and on, as I said.
One quick question, and it's something that's occurred to me a lot lately. Do you believe that there are some people around you, maybe they're friends of yours or maybe they're colleagues, but there are some people who drain you of energy? I've started to think that there are some people who are drainers.
Yeah, I guess a lot of people call them vampires, or because they suck the life out of you, right? Yeah, that's in everybody's life. You know, I think we all have that. And it's a matter of, you know, like you said, you just sometimes have to leave. You just don't allow that. I mean, you might have to change friends. Again, change is a constant. That's what happens all the time in life. And we may have to change our friends sometimes and those relationships and situations because they don't support us anymore. And that's okay. It's okay to let go and move forward. And other people have a hard time with that. You know, Howard, I grew up in a military family. And since we moved every 2 to 4 years, that's an easy thing for me to do. Easy for me to move and make new friends. It's not for everybody an easy thing to do. But I think that helped me in those earlier years to learn that it was okay to meet new people. And so I find that when I'm starting to feel a little sucked by some people, I change. I may not see them as much, and I may have new friends come into the picture. And that's what happens. You make way for the new. I mean, get rid of the old, make way for the new, right? And new ones come in.
I'm all for that, Karen Dolman. Listen, lovely to talk with you again. If people want to know about you, and you know they will, how do they find out about you?
Well, they can go to my website. There's two names to it. It's KarenADolman.com or CreativeVisionsPublications.com. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. You can Google Plus. You can find me pretty much everywhere. And I have a couple books out right now that you can find at my website, autographed or on Amazon.com. And a lot of people from the UK buy the books as well. So, that's about it. You can find me pretty much anywhere on the internet.
Happy 2015, Karen Dolman.
Happy 2015 to you, Howard, and to your listeners.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Karen Dolman in California. Let me know what you think about her. You can email me at the website. Go to www.theunexplained.tv. You can follow the link from there, and you can send an email directly to me, and you know that I do see all of your emails there. And if you want to make a donation, thank you if you have donated to the show across the holiday period. Those are gratefully received. www.theunexplained.tv is the website, and that's designed by Adam Cornwell at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool. More great guests, including one huge guest, coming very soon here on The Unexplained. And until next we meet, I'm Howard Hughes. I am in London, and please stay safe, stay calm, and stay in touch. Take care. Bye-bye.